Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
We're with Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
I wouldn't come home low.
Just when things went right doesn't mean they were always wrong.
What's going on, guys? It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
And you'll never feel.
Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. I wish that was the part where they kicked in with like a drum or something. The cymbal. Long and winding road. What happened? You coughing like a motherfucker? Using the cough button, doggy? Using that cough button, right? Oh, shit. Finally, somebody uses the cough button in real time for the purpose of coughing.
I didn't even hear it over here.
Doggy, nobody heard it. You want to know why? Nigga, using the cough button. That's the only reason the cough button's ever been used, was to do a sound effect with it in my voice. This song reminds me of my mom.
Like in a good way?
No.
Oh, vengeful. Because it sounds pretty sad.
Vengeance is mine.
This song is a very like post breakup, like cut your hair short and like fucking do drugs and just be like sad fucking someone.
Is that what this is to you?
Yeah.
I see little Louis sitting outside the house while his mother fucks somebody like Forrest Gump.
To this song?
Yeah.
And then he comes out and I'm like, that's a fucked up movie. It's a sad movie when you go back and you're not just enjoying laughing at a retard.
That movie makes you like get introspective, and it's like a retard did all this shit.
Yeah,
and I'm like, and
what
I'm
am
like
I doing? Struggling.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck am I doing?
I can't even get together a late night tape. Forget even getting on late night. I can't even get the fucking tape together, and this retard
met the president.
Met fucking like 8 presidents. Motherfucker was out there living life. It is an inspirational movie. It just
he
makes me sad.
A business.
When I think about the,
he drank 12 root beers.
12 root beers.
Yeah, he created the "Don't Worry, Be Happy" face. What else did Forrest
Gump manages? Well, he co-owns Bubblegum Shrimp.
That's true. That's a fucking huge chain.
Yeah.
Ping pong champion.
What is the value of Bubblegum Shrimp?
Professional football player.
No, it was college, collegiate football, but ping pong, represented the United States in ping pong.
Wow.
This motherfucker should have a podcast.
But he's fake. He's not a real person.
Yeah, but you know what? I bet you somebody could do a good impression. He should just do a podcast. He'd have a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
He's like the fucking Joe Rogan of retards.
Would he have a wealth of knowledge?
Yeah, Zach, I know what you want to say. Yeah,
I believe Zach. That spot is already filled, my friend.
I didn't even fucking resist. I saw Zach, I ever saw Zach holding back a joke. I look at his face.
He was trying to really spare your feelings.
And I saw blackheads being squeezed out of his face. And it just, there you go.
You know what? He means it because he didn't want to say it.
I know. Welcome to the show, guys. Great stuff. First of all, live show. We're doing an hour today. I know it's a little bit shorter than normal. I am leaving directly after this to go to fucking Chicago. Chi-Town. Is there a song about Chicago? There's a play about it, right? Is there a song in the play that is like...
There's a rap song that Common did. And
what is
it's
it?
About... It's Kanye redid it. It goes... fuck.
It sounds about right.
That's so much cold. Something.
Sounds
it's called Windy. That's what it's called.
Turn on Windy by...
look it up. Look up Windy or something like that.
That rap.
I met this girl when I was 9 years old, and the thing I love most, she has so much soul. She said, excuse me, little homie, I know you don't know me, but my name is...
I know this song.
And that's... Kanye did that verse, but that's Common's verse.
This is about Chicago?
I was like, that sounds familiar.
Yes.
Kanye. That's where I'm at tonight, motherfucker. Oh, what's up, Chicago?
Ah.
It's okay. It's not great.
Nah, I didn't say it was great.
It's not a good song.
You just
I need a better Chicago. Like, what is the fucking? Give me songs about Chicago, Shannon. What are some songs?
Uptown Girl.
It's not about Chicago. It's about New York.
It's the band Chicago.
A white bitch on the Upper East Side.
Who's giving out the head.
Yeah. Uptown Girl. She been living in her white bread world.
Is that what it says?
Yeah, right? I think no. So. I just guessed lyrics.
White
yeah.
bread?
White bread.
I always thought it was white bread.
It makes sense. World. It makes more sense.
You I'm never not recognizing went any of the songs that are coming up.
Downtown guy.
Somewhere.
Something, and I told you twice. I'll tell her why. Whoa.
Uptown girl.
We say whoa for every time her dad yelled the N-word.
Billy Joel really was pretty much a black guy for the 80s. Like, he had that nappy-ass hair. He had those fucking...
Jesus Christ, you sound like Don Imus.
What? He did.
He had that nappy-ass hair. Like,
look at Billy Joel's shitty fucking nappy hair. It is.
Oh, my God,
what do you
Lewis.
Want me to say? He did. Look at his hair.
That's good hair right there. You know how many white people wish they had the hair?
If you're a black guy, you get that hair. You're like, all right, I gotta take
it. But white people, if white people had the hair, they'll be fine with it.
Yeah, that shit looks like a perm.
Dude. It probably is a perm.
You can get way more hairstyles. Wear more cool hairstyles.
Why does he have these the homosexuals working in the shop?
Nothing got fixed.
Here's Lenny and Charlie. They fuck each other on every lunch break.
Who's that she knows and the way I... He could have avoided that whole puddle.
You should see what they do with those wrenches in each other's assholes.
There's Gas Digital.
That's the old Gas Digital Studios. I love Billy Joel. Like, back in the day, I had no problem with Billy Joel.
If people walked up to your car like this in real life, would you keep going? Would you be like, never mind, guys. Never mind.
Like, why are there four white people working at this gas station?
Yeah, if there's no Hispanic person there, I'm not going.
This is a prank? What is this? What's happening right now?
Yeah.
This is terrifying.
There's too many white people for one car.
And the black driver, they didn't even hide it back in the 80s.
But the black drivers don't trust them.
They didn't even pretend. Look at this. Look at it. And the black driver's like, that's right. Honkies, clean my windows. He's loving his moment in the sun.
Uh-huh. Wait, no, he looks concerned. He was like, I'm telling you, Miss Daisy, there's no Hispanics here.
he's the driver.
I know.
That's the chauffeur.
Yeah, I know.
But he don't trust him.
Look at him. His arms are crossed. You're right.
I don't trust these white boys.
Look at him.
He's like, white boys can't fix cars.
There's something going on here. There's something's afoot.
Something don't feel right.
Something don't feel right. We need to get out of here right now, miss.
Right now, miss.
Oh, there's some blacks. Uh-huh. All right, thanks, Shannon. This isn't a song.
She looks great
Chicago.
In that video.
It's not a song about Chicago, by the way, but it's fine. What are we plugging real quick? Monroe, you got anything to plug?
No. Because I don't know. No, not really.
All right, Kim.
Yeah, check out Stone Science on Gas Digital. We're coming out with Stone Science Season 2 soon. I'm really excited about that. My other
season
podcast.
Gonna be dope.
It is going to be dope.
We filmed it. A lot of really great comedians. Azizi, the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez.
Fuck yeah.
Jesse May Palooza. Who else was on the season? Dan Soder.
Yeah.
Sherrod.
Teddy Ray. Dope. Sherrod. Yeah. It was really good. It was really good.
Very exciting. Very
a lot
exciting.
Of fun people. So I'm really excited for that to come out. And check out my other podcast, Broad Topics, Topics with an X, and Subway Creatures on Gas Digital Network.
I got to say, check out Broad Topics. I listen to it sometimes just because I weirdly like just get into like zones where I just click on things. And I don't have time to listen to many podcasts outside of Gas Digital. Yeah. But you and Alex are legitimately fucking funny. Alex is DJ Skrillex from the Legion of Skank show. Kim and her do a podcast together, and it's just stupid. You guys are dirty.
It's really much more funny than I thought it ever would
it's
be.
It's not about politics. It's not about fucking social issues. It's just about you guys being idiots. Like,
I
it's
love
very
it.
Very funny. Really,
it's really,
really, really
fun. Just listen to one episode. Just pick an episode and listen. And if you don't like it, never listen again.
Yeah, that's it.
And I will be in Boston on Monday.
Yeah. With me, with Zach.
Fuck yeah.
Robbie the Fire Bernstein will be on that show. Zachy, anything else?
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my new show here on Gas Digital Network every Friday at midnight. Zach Miko's Midnight Spook Show. A bunch of comics sitting around watching horror movies, talking shit.
Fuck yeah. All right, guys, the tour is completely underway. Tonight, Chicago. Tomorrow and Saturday, the 10th and the 11th, I'll be in Miami, Florida. I hear you guys are buying a lot of tickets. That's the update. So thank you very much for Miami for coming out. Then Monday night, I'll be with Kim Congdon. I'll be with Zach Amico. I will be with Robbie the Fire Bernstein in Boston at Laugh Boston. Very excited about that. I know people are really coming out and representing for that. Keep on buying tickets to Monday night. And same thing for next Wednesday. Governors at Brokerage at Belmore, New York, Long Island. I've never done any of the Governors clubs. I'm telling you right now, guys, I know it's a fucking weeknight. Come out, represent, okay? It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to have some special guests. Zach, are you available for that show?
Yes.
Zach's going to be there. Kim, you available for that show?
When?
Fuck you. I mean, Kim might be there. Monroe might even show up. Who knows who's going to be there? Monroe,
yeah,
Monroe, you want to come out to Long Island next Wednesday? Monroe's in. He's in. 100% Monroe Martin fans. What a show. No, I really mean this, guys. It's a Wednesday night. Come out and fucking grab your tickets. Seattle's coming up. Washington, D.C. Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. San Francisco. Denver. The tour is really coming together. I'm very excited about the special. I'm filming it December 9th here in New York City. I will be... The tickets are going to be available, I believe, not this... I believe it's going to be a week from this Monday, but I will tweet about that ASAP. So tickets will be available a week from this Monday. Come the fuck out, New York City. Represent. It's good. The venue's awesome. It's called the Cutting Room. It's in Midtown. It's fucking gorgeous. And I think you guys are going to really, really love what I'm doing here. I'm working very hard on this. So, yeah, beyond that, check out my other podcast, Legion of Skanks, Believe You Me with Michael Bisping, and subscribe for Gas Digital, guys. Come on. If you love this show, we have over 300 episodes available on demand. 300 episodes available on demand. The latest 15 episodes are on iTunes and YouTube. That's fine, but you can get every episode we've ever done in HD, ad-free, uncensored. People hate ads. They hate censorship. Pre-release on all the episodes as well. You get them 4 days before they go anywhere else. If you subscribe as a premium member, you get hooked up. It's $7 a month if you use the promo code RAP, and you also get a 14-day free trial. So you get to try it out for free, see if you enjoy the premium service. Not only do you get access to this show, but 22 other shows on the network, including the new Tommy Dreamer show, which we just announced, which is fucking incredible, dude. How cool is that? Tommy Dreamer from ECW. Really cool.
Oh, that's dope.
I know, you're an old Philly guy. Yeah, so all the Philly kids, like, no matter where you're at in life, people from Philly just rep ECW. Yeah. That's some fucking old school shit.
ECW was the shit, man.
Yeah. You grew up, were you a pro wrestling fan, or was it like more like...
I was a pro wrestling fan, but ECW kind of like won in my
heart. His real name is New Jack the Third.
ECW was... Kim, you probably know nothing about ECW.
Mm-mm.
Dude, you used to just... It just came on a channel that didn't come in all the way.
Yeah.
Like, you could... It was never clear. It was always grainy.
It was a step above public access they would get it on. It was always like MSG Network. New York City was MSG Network at like 3 in the morning. You would get...
Yeah, or TNN.
You would get the cut together, like... They cut together an hour show, but it's like... I mean, the editors were... All Mike Harrington's. I imagine the fucking production booth was just a bunch of Mike Harrington's in the booth. They knew nothing on how to produce shit, and it was shitty quality, but what they did was they specialized in what was like extreme wrestling. And this was a niche, and it was out there. Other people did it, but they got the biggest. So you hear about like barbed wire baseball bat matches or thumbtack matches or crazy, like, you know, pull up like, I bet you there's like a dope ECW compilation. Pull up like a hardcore ECW compilation.
A bunch of them. It didn't come out like that in Philly. It came on like basically the AM of TV. So it came on this network called like Urban Expressions or whatever.
It was public access.
Public access, but it looked terrible. It was terrible, but it was the best. It was grainy. You can barely see people's faces. And all you heard was Kindlestick's hits.
Yeah. It just felt illegal because they didn't care about copyrights on music. Like, they would just play bands' music.
Yes. They didn't care.
Felt like outlaw radio. Trying to get away.
Oh, this is even when it got... Oh, no, this is when it got even bigger.
See, you got to see it like this.
Yeah, this shit was like... That's New Jack. We had him on Legion of Skanks before.
Jack the Third.
Hell, come on! I don't remember New Jack's guitar theme.
That was the whole thing. That's just later in the...
Yeah, yeah. You gotta pull up a little bit earlier.
I remember watching stuff like this with my cousin, and it would like fuck me up. I would not like it.
You
at all.
Like this?
No, it just looks so painful that it made me uncomfortable to watch.
Well, these guys were like real deal. Like New Jack, who we had on Legion of Skanks, he straight up had like a thing
skull
with a dude.
Fracture.
Well, forget a skull fracture. He had a thing with a dude like in an earlier match. And he had a legitimate beef with this guy.
Yeah.
So in the middle of another match he did with him, this is on television, this is on camera, he pulls a knife out of his fucking shirt. This is on TV. You can actually find this. Find New Jack stabbing a guy.
Oh, the Australian guy, right?
And he starts to stab him in the middle of the fucking ring.
Oh.
I swear to God, he told the story on Legion of Skanks, and he was like, what happened was, this is such a weird subculture, this world, and New Jack was like respected in that world, like as a wrestler. He's like a crazy hardcore wrestler. That he promised a guy if he dropped the charges,
he would train him.
And then he just ghosted the guy after he dropped the charges. And was like, come find me, motherfucker. Okay, I guess.
So funny.
But pull up, this is the footage of New Jack stabbing
the guy. Wait, but why'd he stab him?
Because he had a beef with him. And that's the way New Jack deals with things.
Sometimes you just can't explain a beef. You just don't like a person.
Yeah. In October of 2004, New Jack received felony charges, including aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and aggravated assault to commit murder due to his actions in the following match.
That's fucking crazy.
We had him on the podcast twice after this.
When did this? Oh, 2004. That's pretty recent.
He explained everything. Those podcasts, they're available on Gas Digital, both New Jack podcasts. They're fucking crazy. He's such a hardcore motherfucker. I like him. We were going to do a web series together where he was trying to get into stand-up comedy, and I was going to teach him how to do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And it just never got off the ground. That was the whole idea, and it was going to be him dealing with comedy bookers the same way he deals with everyone else in life.
Killing them?
I've never seen you scared like the day you were scared of New Jack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, who
is this the guy he stabs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's New Jack?
New Jack's the... What do you think?
Who looks like they're named New Jack?
Who looks like who's going to pull a knife out and stab a guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Damn.
Named New Jack.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Now, look. What are you doing? Look at his hand.
Yeah, he's going in the camo pocket.
Look at his hand, dog. He's got him in a headlock now. This is fucking real.
Yo, there's nobody even watching. Knife.
Look. In front of tens of people.
Look. Kimberly. He's trying to kill him.
I can't believe you have this guy here.
He didn't come here. Not the new studio.
He's the creep.
Yo, he's like really cutting him.
Look at him, dog. And the referee is like, foul? One. Two, three.
No, he
four,
doesn't go back.
Five. Dog.
Why is no one stopping it?
Because
they don't
New
know
Jack.
What's going on.
They think it's one of those retractable knives you buy in the Halloween store.
He like.
All right, we just have watching.
That was disturbing. The best.
What the fuck is going on?
Does it
How
live?
Is this? A-
Ladies and gentlemen,
we can't
it live?
Stop it.
Now, no, it's 14 years ago, Kim.
No! Stop the video! What happens? Who stops this?
Kim watching a nature film when there's a lion about to kill a baby deer.
When are they gonna stop it?
Be very careful about what jungle animals you pick there.
Yeah, that's crazy. I wonder
how
he stabbed the dude at though. Like, would he? Because you can't really see clearly. What,
I'd just be there. He's hardcore. He's hardcore. He's hardcore.
Look at this.
Yeah, look at him.
Are people realizing that it's real now?
I don't know, dude.
I'm confused.
There's no one there. There's just children milling around.
Yeah. He really tried to kill him.
But he's also, now he's doing pro wrestling punches. This is the weird part. Go back for just 1 second. He did a pro wrestling punch to him. That was not a real punch.
Yeah.
Look. Watch the punch.
This dude's fucked in the head.
Stop disrespecting my friend New Jack. Kim, he might come to our home one day and have to stay with us.
New Jack's not staying in our home.
Baby.
No.
Baby, don't disrespect New Jack. Are you out of your fucking mind? Edit all that. How do you feel about New Jack, Kim?
This guy's trying to get the knife out of his hand.
Did he stab him, too?
This dude's brave.
I think it's awesome that they got Mr. Perfect to be the guest referee.
I think this is awkward. This is an awkward trying to, like...
That was absolutely perfect. All right, we got it.
What the fuck? Sorry.
He lived.
What the fuck?
Relax, Kim. He didn't die.
You even use the cough button for a sneeze. That is impressive.
Hi.
It's versatile.
Yeah. Could be a sneeze button.
Yes.
Who knows what it is?
But
yeah, ECW was like, that was an ECW. That was like some smaller shit.
Yeah, that's just fucking prison fights.
Yeah.
That's crazy, but there's just so many people watching not knowing that it was happening.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people die like that. Just people not sure.
Yeah,
like,
that's what happened with
like in the streets.
Isn't there a scene in one of the Scream movies where the girl gets like killed in the middle of the movie?
It's the beginning of two, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, they're watching a horror movie and then the Scream guy kills her and they're all like, yeah, fucking stab that bitch. Because they think it's like a theatrical thing.
That happens at haunted houses too.
What?
A guy really stabbed his friend at a haunted house this year. he picked up a knife that he thought was a prop and stabbed his friend.
Yeah.
But then there's been times in haunted houses, like, there'll be, like, a noose hanging, and somebody will go to scare their friend, and they put it around their neck and accidentally really kill themselves.
Nice.
And then their friends go through the house.
But then people go through the haunted house
taking pictures
all night.
Yeah.
No. It's so that's real. Actually happened.
Yeah, that's definitely happened. And people just
my
all
dad,
night.
My dad hung a noose from his tree during Halloween for decorations. And I remember him being like, don't put your head
but
in there.
It was April. With Lewis on his way.
That is in February.
But he was like, don't put your head in there. And that was it. And now growing up, I'm like, that's a really dangerous thing to casually have in a tree in your yard when you have children.
Yeah. It's also, you know, borderline offensive.
That's a good way to keep the mailman away.
Yeah.
It's no yeah. spam.
Oh, I guess it is more racist. He was trying to be creepy for Halloween, yeah. but it does seem a little yeah. racist.
It is a little racist in Florida. So white guy with the noose hanging from his tree. He's passed out on his front lawn drinking a bush.
Yeah, but there was like pumpkins and stuff.
Oh, because the pumpkins take away from the noose.
No, they're not racist. It's festive.
There was pumpkins. And,
yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
Yeah, the
I never even realized that until you just said it. I was like, oh, it is racist.
That's so funny.
It is a little bit racist.
It's racist, but it was like it wasn't because you didn't see it like that first. Because
it was Halloween. Yeah. I was like, it's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
like bodies hanging.
It's only racist because your dad is legitimately racist.
True.
Yeah. So if
But I didn't know that.
If your dad wasn't an actual racist, you know,
but I didn't know that
dude from Florida. Like she's half white.
Is your dad really racist?
Is he racist? Probably.
You know what?
He's probably racist
it's so
the same
funny.
Way that my white family members are racist.
It's so funny.
Like, really racist.
Well, he's like...
Exceptionally so.
He's like... They get it. Like, he used to say really racist shit, and then in, like, 2015, suddenly he went way the other way.
Oh, so now he's against racism.
Now he's, like, really, like... He's like, well, I got in a fight at the bar. They shouldn't have said what they said. And he's, like, then he's, like, standing up for... You know, yeah. He's like standing against it now. So it's like, I don't know.
Mm. Well,
you know,
no, that's not that crazy though. When you think about the way people are now, right? Everyone has cultural and social issues way more on their mind yeah. now. And I don't think it was, whereas I think it was like, you know, I'm sure your dad just grew up at a time where he never, ever really thought about the other side of things. It just didn't have to. It wasn't really in yeah. his face like that. Well, he, you know, he dealt with his own problems. And then you grow up and you go, oh shit, dude, I'm poor. I fucking grew up with, like, you know, substance abuse issues. Yeah. I have more in common with minorities and with people that are, you know, oppressed, quote unquote, than I do with fucking
billionaires.
Yeah, like Republicans or people that are, you know, because your dad, I don't want to shit on like your dad or anything, but he grew up, I'm assuming, fairly poor.
Yeah.
Assuming, you know.
Oh yeah.
So once you have the internet, things become more apparent. You go like, wait a minute, those guys aren't on my side. Those guys are more on my side. So I understand it's not that crazy of a thing, but I think you also grow up at a time where you're just ignorant of shit, and people say, you know, people say and do things that you're just kind of like, I don't think that all the kids that threw rocks at me and called me the N-word growing up, I don't think that all of those people are now racist and hateful people. I all those kids that were, you know, in that neighborhood, that little white trash neighborhood, mm-hmm. if I had to guess, most of them are probably fairly good people now that live lives and aren't racist, would never do anything or say anything, and would probably be very embarrassed if that were to ever, you know, be pointed out to them.
Yeah.
You know, they probably repress it in their own way because you're a kid and you don't fucking, you know, you're a product of this horseshit environment. But I think because you have, you know.
Or every time they see a rock, they just think, those are the days.
Every time they skip a stone alive. Across the lake, they're like, imagine that was a Puerto Rican kid's head. Be fucking good. It looks fun.
My sister had kids with a black guy, so.
Yeah.
Are you half black?
Well, I'm half Puerto Rican, so.
Oh, okay.
So what does that mean? No.
So close.
Technically, yeah.
Nah, I don't know.
All right, guys, really quick, let's take a moment and talk about Auto Slash, which is a great way to rent cars. Monroe, I know you travel a lot. You ever rent cars?
Yep.
Doggy. It gets expensive. It sucks, you know? And the problem with renting cars, there's no rhyme or reason to it anymore because one day you go on, it's one price. An hour later, it's another price. The next day, it's another price. Well, you know what? Auto Slash is the number one site for getting great deals on car rentals. And it's a site that we use for road gigs. Monday, we're going out to Boston. We're going to be renting a car with Auto Slash. What they do is they figure out all of the best coupons and discount codes that are available. Mm-hmm. They do all the math for you. They apply every discount available. All the rental prices are fluctuating constantly. And Auto Slash does all of the math and does all the magic for you to make sure you get the absolute best price. Not only the discount codes that are available, but they also search every company like Avis, Hertz, and Thrifty. They also search through all of the membership affiliations such as AAA and Costco. So they apply all of the discounts you can get, every single aspect. Do the math for you. On average, Auto Slash customers save 30% on their car rentals. Not only that, if you rent a car through Auto Slash, if you, let's say the rate goes down after you booked it, guess what? They'll track it, contact you, you can rebook. Boom.
Wow.
You are getting the absolute cheapest price. Why give away your money to Dr. Johnny Hertz? He's got enough fucking money. He's fine, okay? You need your money. Holiday season, you need to save that cash. This is the best way to rent cars. And guess the best part of all, guess how much the service is? What do you figure? Every time you use it, you're going to probably have to pay some sort of crazy percentage, maybe a flat fee.
To rent a car?
Yeah. Guess how much this service costs, specifically through Auto Slash?
Like $100
free.
It's fucking free.
No, it's not.
It's free. You pay them nothing. They are doing the work for you. It's basically your own team of, I don't want to say slaves, but you know what do you call them? They're working for free. They're just fucking out there. You crack
elves.
The whip a little bit. Holiday season is here.
There's so many better things to say than slaves. Elves, interns, helpers.
Fine. They're interns. Yes, they are like your own intern team for booking you the best car rental prices. Autoslash.com is the website. You got to go to it. They're so fucking, such a great company. I've been using them. I will never rent a car without Autoslash again. So make sure you go to Autoslash.com and use them. And you know what? Enjoy your next trip. All right, let's get back into it. I heard you on the Comedy Cellar podcast talking about Legion of Skanks and about how we say racist things. And you weren't shitting on us at all. You were saying it was funny. Like it wasn't shitty at all. Yeah. But it
I
kind of
has the difference between racist and racial.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it kind of, I started like thinking about that and that sort of that perspective on it because, you know, we do say shit on these shows that like, look, we are trying to find something very funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we fail, we die on our sword. I think some people in life, they hear us make these jokes and then they go like, oh, well, they're saying that. So it's sort of giving us carte blanche to say what we want.
Yeah.
But you will also die on your sword. You have a different sword to die on though. If you work in an office environment and you make a joke like this, believe me, you're going to lose that fucking job. And you can't justify it by going like, oh, I make funny for a living. I'm trying to find funny. Like, I will be okay because of that. You know what I'm saying? So there's almost a weird thing. Al Jackson, who's a comic that I know, I posted a picture of me and Anthony Cumia at the fights. And Al Jackson chimed in. He was like, you know, that guy hates black people or something. He said something along those lines.
He was like, I'm not black. I'm fine.
Like, cool. Me too. And then I blocked Al.
And Ant at the Mandingo fight.
No, and look, I understand why people say that about Anthony because he's very political.
Yeah.
He gets into these racially charged conversations and, you know, he's a fucking 60-year-old Italian guy from Long Island. You'd be hard pressed to find many 60-year-old Italian guys from Long Island that don't have his perspective on the things. But I've been to Anthony's house with black people and Jewish people and Hispanic people, and Anthony's opened his doors to our fan base to come in, and there's never been any tight. Like, I know the guy on a different level, so when people are going like, oh, that guy's racist, I'm going like, no, he's no more racist than most people. You know what I'm saying? I think he's just not really, he doesn't shy away from the language, so it's very easy to sort of point your finger and say, well, you know, that guy's racist. When do you think it's okay for a person to use the N-word? And can I give you my barometer first?
Yeah.
And then tell me if you agree with this. I think if you are brown and you've been called the N-word in a malicious way,
you can use it.
I think you can use it casually. I mean, I'm saying not use it. I'm saying casually. I don't have any problem if a white person is having a conversation and say, you know, and they're having a conversation about the word nigger and they say that word. I have no problem. I don't think there's anything racist about it. It is a word that exists in the vocabulary. If they're to use it casually, I feel like, you know, what buys you that right is if you are brown. You could be an Indian kid, and you'd be
but
called.
But I feel
in,
like
you
got to grow up. It's more
or an Asian kid who smoked weed once.
It's more of like a culture thing. So, and I don't mean culture as in like black. I mean culture as in like the area you grew up in. If you're brown, you grew up in the suburbs, you can't use it. That's not your life. But if you're brown and
but
you
what
grew
if you're,
up
what if,
in like...
I grew up in the suburbs and I was literally a victim of racism a lot.
But you grew up... Didn't you grow up in like the the trash suburbs, which is still the hood. So you still grew up in poverty. So somebody, it's a culture somebody, thing. It's
it was
a,
actually my therapist pointed this out to me because I always talk about like...
I'm not allowed to say it. You have a therapist. You're not allowed to say the N-word. You can't. So I'm allowed to say the N-word. My therapist told me.
Oh yeah, that does make sense.
No. My therapist. We were talking about just poverty, and I was talking about how I grew up really poor.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, you know, I'm in Harlem now, and I was like, I see kids here, and I think that they have a. They deal with a different type of poverty than I deal with. You know, I'm like, if you're in the projects in New York City, like you can imagine. And she kind of pointed out to me that that's not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting perspective because when you're in the city, okay, you're in an environment, in any big city, you're in an environment where you're very close to people that are succeeding. You're very close to people that are motivated. You're very close to, you're in a culture of growth. And even maybe it's not in your household, you're like, you're in the, like, you're within a half a mile from a fucking billionaire who's lived every dream of his life. And there's a different culture in a city where there's just things that are happening. When you're in the suburbs or you're like a more of a rural, poor area.
Is this you?
There's nobody's doing anything special.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing anything That's incredible. So true. Nobody's doing anything inspirational. And it's you get stuck in a thing where people never get out of that.
Yeah.
Ever. So there's an advantage of growing up poor if you're in a city. And I never really consider that perspective before. Mm-hmm. I was always like, oh yeah, the city had to be fucking rough.
Yeah.
But it's like you go out you open up your eyes in New York City, it's like you literally with your naked eyes, you're seeing like you'll see just by panning the street, you will see a homeless person who's gonna be dead within a year and a fucking billionaire who's gonna own the block. Yeah. And it's like you'll be on a subway car with that type of diversity.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
That's why I said poor culture, because I don't mean when I say the hood, I don't mean just the city. Like, I've lived in suburban hoods, and those are worse.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're brown and you grew up in just that oppressive environment, usually you're going to lean towards that word. Yeah. But I don't really think people are that offended by it anymore.
Yeah. Well, the people are more offended by other things now. We've sort of gone beyond it. It's like, and people move so fast with their minds that it's like, I mean, I would like to believe, because the conversation on that Creek, or I'm sorry, on that Comedy Cellar podcast was like, is there a place for like offensive comedy and comedians that are trying to,
And I say said, fucked
up shit? No, I know you did. Yeah. So did Rebecca and so did everybody, you know, they sort of all agreed. But that label of being a fucking, you know, a racist or a Nazi or whatever it is, you sort of throw it at people.
It's the easiest thing to go to when you're angry.
If you defend it at all, then you're like, am I defending being a fucking...
Yeah.
Somebody did this the other day because the Proud Boys, they put me up as a Proud Boy of the Week back when I had that argument with that dude at the Creek.
But you're not even a Proud Boy.
No. So, you know, and look, I know the guy who did it, he's a fan of mine. I've known him for a long time. Like, and I've said before, I think the Proud Boys in general have sort of gotten an unfair shake because you read newspaper articles and they go, this violent Nazi fighting group, and you go like, oh, if you peg them as that, and then you have people coming at them going, yeah, violent Nazi, I'm gonna fight you, and then they fight back, now you're just sort of, you're creating that culture more than you are I don't think that that's what that was.
Yeah.
And I think that now you're sort of making that, you know, you're creating that type of thing. But somebody wrote
it's
on
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So somebody wrote on my, you know, one of my posts recently on Instagram, and they were like, oh, I didn't know you were affiliated with this this hate group. And it was a link to the Proud Boy of the Week thing that they put up about me. And my first reaction was to defend myself.
Yeah.
Be like, well, number one, I'm not affiliated with them. You know, I'm not affiliated with anybody. I'm not a fucking punk. I don't join clubs. That's not the way I work, right?
Yeah.
No offense to anybody who's a fucking bitch ass motherfucker who needs to join a club to feel like they fit in.
Yeah, but you know what sounds a little bit gayer than white supremacist hate group? Adult fraternity.
Yeah. It's just fucking, what do you want me to say? It's gay. I'm not joining any club, okay? Yeah. I think when people are in fraternities in college, it's fucking gay as shit. I think when
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't make friends on my own. How about these dudes?
I got done being a goth kid when I was 17. I don't need to dress a certain way to fit in with a certain culture or to act a certain way. So when I see adults doing it, I roll my eyes at it. But my reaction was sort of defend myself. And then the other thing, my second reaction was like, to be like, well, it's also not, I wouldn't call it a hate group.
Yeah.
And then I'm going like, well, now I'm going to be getting into an argument with a guy on behalf of this fucking group that I don't really care about.
Yeah.
And it's such an ugly thing. And what he did there, it was this reverse trolling thing that I've talked about before, where what he's doing is he's trolling me in a way where he's going to drum up this dialogue of, and then people will chime in and be shitty with him and be shitty with me. And this is our entire culture. This is just what happens. And it unfolds and you go like, I'm in an argument now with some dude about something that I don't give a fuck about in any sense of the word. And that, I think that is the thing that kind of sucks right now.
Yeah.
That's where we're at as a culture. And that's what people do.
Yeah. Most of these articles are written by people who felt attacked growing up, and now it's their turn to fight back. Yeah. And of course, like, you see Proud Boy articles and all that stuff, those are written by the people who feel they're being attacked. They're not written from a non-biased point of view. They're not written just to go, here's some information. They're leaning towards going, these people are a hate group.
Yeah, of course.
I want you to hate them just as much as I do. Yeah,
they have a very specific agenda. And to be honest with you, we don't look at each piece, if something comes up in my newsfeed, I click on it. I read the headline, but then I very rarely even go beyond seeing the source of what that source is. And back in the day, it used to be fucking The Onion.
Yeah.
That was like the big thing. Like, you'd read the Onion articles. That was the first one. And then it became so crazy, the news, that you don't even know anymore what is fucking trolling and what is what. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, I don't want to make it a super fucking serious show, but you know, I always get kind of I get in my head about these things sometimes because I don't want to be perceived as a racist. That's not what I don't want to be perceived as hateful, but I also don't want to be perceived as somebody who's gonna fucking back down and just say the narrative of what you're quote unquote supposed to say right now.
I'm gonna say this. I think y'all are doing the right thing because. Anybody who talks about race who's not like a part of the group they're talking about is automatically deemed racist because you're not allowed to have an opinion on an outside group, and that's unfair. That's not, you know what I mean? It's unfair to not be allowed to talk about race and not be labeled a racist, but you kind of got to die on that sword.
Yeah,
well, you know what I mean? You gotta be able to be those.
My decision is,
we're gonna talk about this shit and we're not racist. But we live in this world too, and we experience things as well.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be called a racist if I have a different opinion. And yeah.
Well, also not only that, if you were just trying to fucking make jokes and just trying to be funny and just legitimately, you know, it all comes from a very good place. Yeah. Like, it's coming from a place of really being good. And when I perform for minorities. I would say some of my best fans are minorities. They're Hispanic people, Black people. I have a lot of Hispanic fans that fucking, I think, connect with my perspective on race because, and I talk about this in my act, but it's like, we are sort of in the middle, and Black people and white people, they both weirdly lean into Hispanics and, you know.
The first time you said that, I've never heard anyone vocalize that, but that's so true. I've had so many Black friends and so many white friends both like talk shit about the other race to me.
Yeah, because they're like
so many,
and you're just sort of like in this in the middle. And then I was also,
and I understand them both,
but it depends on
they're both right.
They're both right.
It depends on your complexion though, because the dark skin Hispanic isn't getting the same treatment.
You're right. But I'm also like, it depends on how you look at me. Like, it's like literally like the way I look. If somebody said, oh, yeah, he's Black, people would believe it because I have this big, bulbous fucking nose, these beautiful lips.
You're like Juice from Sons of Anarchy.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I've been compared to Juice from Sons of Anarchy before.
Oh, look at him. He's all lit about it. Just got hard.
Theo
Ortiz.
Rossi.
Look at Shannon. Shannon, calm your voice. That was her pussy.
Staten Island.
That was her pussy that said that. Rossi. Theo Rossi.
Yes, I know him.
I'm just jealous you got fucked in the ass by Marilyn Manson.
Did he? No. Oh, in the show. I never got there.
Manson's prison, bitch.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Juice.
Okay, I see it.
Yeah, like
I definitely see it.
Yeah, the
like I thought you were before I knew you were Puerto Rican, I just thought you were just Black and white.
Black and white, a lot
and
of
the same thing with you. So depending on the color of your skin, then it's like, well, which side lets you win?
I am technically black because when I did that fucking 23andMe thing, and I'm like,
he's so proud of this. This is how you know he is racist, because he keeps talking how black he is.
80% African, so, you know, 80? Whatever. Something like that. I don't know. It was a crazy amount of African. The amount of African that I have in me is 80?
Ugh. I just leave. Too much for me.
Unfortunately, my dick is Irish.
I go
Irish.
50 or under.
My whole pelvic region is Irish, and then everything else is African.
He has red pubes. It's fucking it's brutal.
No, but I am, you know, my family, my ancestors are from straight up Africa. And I have been, you know, when I think people think I exaggerate when I talk about like my youth. Like I was chased down the street.
And we're going to hear the rock thing again.
Daily.
So you are the Puerto Rican.
I've heard this rock fucking thing. You have no idea how many times I've heard this rock story. Every time he gets in a fight with a black person, he's like, they threw rocks at me too.
Did your leg
braces
come off when you were running?
Also, black people don't really have to deal with that. Listen, when I talk to like Palestinians, this is their story.
What, black people don't deal with what?
Rocks being thrown at them, really?
It depends. Yes.
You know what I noticed?
Yes. They outrun them.
Yeah.
Like, there's some guy back there throwing rocks. Is that,
they catch it, they slam dunk it.
It depends.
Through the leg. Boom.
If a black Kobe. Kid grew up in a poor area, like a poor white area.
If I had the athleticism to just catch the rock and then fucking whip it back at him, I would do that, okay? But I don't have that.
You know, I noticed too, is like you were saying that it's like very different to be light-skinned Puerto Rican and dark-skinned Puerto Rican. And that was like something I experienced too, because I grew up with only my Puerto Rican family. And I was like, besides one of my other cousins, I was the lightest.
Yeah.
Like all, like most of my cousins look like
favorite.
You.
The most beautiful.
No, the white the whiter angel. One was
the whiter
the
one. Whoever
I was
the
second.
Lighter one was
it went in order. It went in order.
Sister,
yes.
You have a straight up white sister.
Yeah. Yes.
Cambria.
Yeah. Who, but that's from my dad's side, and I didn't grow up with my dad's side of the
She's
family.
Straight up white. So that's the difference between me and you. So me and Kim have a lot of similarities, like in the way we grew up. Like,
yeah.
But it was opposite. It was almost like a you know, Polaroid. Like your dad was white, your mom was Semitic, my dad was Semitic, my mom was white. And I was raised by the white side of my family, whereas you were raised by the Hispanic side of your family.
Yeah.
So you have so much more Hispanic influence and culture.
She knows what seasoning tastes like.
I don't know shit. Dude, my family cooks so bad.
Oh, God. One time when I first met Lewis, he was like, my roommate made this food. It's really good. And he made me try it.
That's fucking gross.
It tasted like plastic. And he was like, it's delicious. Do you want a second bowl?
It's porridge.
Yeah, it was literally porridge, I think.
It came in a bowl?
It
you
was
want a
fucking
second bowl? Nah,
gross. I was like, I didn't want the first bite.
If you're not going to eat your bowl of porridge sludge, I'll have it.
So sometimes he does things that are so white that I can
this
tell he grew up
hot.
In the side of his family.
This one's too cold.
Like sometimes, you do a lot of white things.
What do I do that's white?
Like sometimes you just tell James he doesn't have to shower tonight.
He doesn't have what?
He doesn't have to shower tonight.
That's very
winter.
White.
That's so white.
Winter.
That's so white.
No.
And he went to school all day. He sat on the train. He fucking was been licking the bench on the subway.
Minority
He's
kids
got a cold
shower
and then,
twice
funny.
A day.
They really do. Yeah. That's the other thing I noticed. Like, I didn't realize this. This is a very much a thing that Hispanic people have their perspective on.
Yeah.
White people and black people, you both think the other ones are really filthy.
Yes.
Both. Yeah. Just so you know,
but
white people
the
think black
people
are like dirty
I'm
little
in the
animals.
Middle.
And black people are like, oh, that smelly little fucking white kid.
I'm in the middle. The white people are dirtier.
That's
I'm telling you 100%.
You might be right.
100%, you guys sit straight on the toilet seat. Ask any black person if they put their bare butt cheeks on a toilet seat.
No.
No. You
I've
guys
never put
fucking
toilet paper down.
See,
ever in my
you're white.
Life.
Neither do you.
Time.
I never touch the toilet
time
seat.
To fucking put
I what? Fucking put two layers of toilet paper on each of them.
Yeah.
I put it in the middle too, so my pussy doesn't touch the middle thing or my
you
underwear.
Got the middle
of
your
pussy lips.
Yeah. So that's
I grab
the difference.
A ladle and
ask
I put my
any
pussy lips in the ladle so they don't fall in the water.
I used to go out with like white people and black people, and all my white girlfriend sat direct like ow hammered like on the toilet seat. They'll sit on the floor in the bathroom.
Hold
it's
on.
Fucking
I gotta pee
crazy.
Give me a boot to put in my pussy.
You guys don't care.
No matter what I noticed this, no matter how many white apartments I've been over, when I go to their bathroom, their tub is always dirty.
Black people
always dirty.
Do not know how to air condition their homes. Yeah. Always hot houses.
Nah, my place, I got like a big ass AC.
I've never been into a black house that didn't have a beeping fire thing and no AC.
I've been to a
the
lot
fire
of houses
alarm batteries?
With like,
it's always
beep beep beep. That's what black people do. They don't change out their fire alarms.
We always die in our sleep because of the fucking smoke.
They're not even black. It's just burnt.
Well, when you sleep 18 hours a day.
They don't change their fire alarms.
We're like cats.
It's the evolution of burning in your house.
Oh, that's fucked up.
White people wear their shoes in the house. That's nasty.
Well, we just started taking our shoes off.
Because you just moved in with a Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't what I was going to say.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. We take off our shoes now. But I agree with that now. I read an article a long time ago that they did. It was like the New York Post, like years ago. I used to read the newspaper every day on the subway because it was before you can get internet.
You're
on the subway.
Trying to look smart.
No. I had ADD like really bad, and I had to. I would like freak out if I didn't have like a newspaper to read because I needed to keep my mind busy while I'm waiting for subways.
Okay.
And I remember one time I was on the subway. There was a guy reading a newspaper, and he like turned the page, and he was done with that part of it, and I just didn't have anything to read. I was like, hey, dude. Can I just get the page you read already?
And what'd he say?
He's like, no. And I'm like, but why? I mean, you already read it. He was like, no, get your own newspaper. And I'm like, duh, I'll kill you. I freaked out on this guy. I'm not right, but I'm also not wrong. Why would you say no?
Wrong.
You're wrong. You can't take a grown man shit.
Because you can't. Then it would also give him another page in the newspaper that he hadn't read yet.
No. I know what you're saying, but no, it wasn't. It was like the inside thing. I'm telling you, I would have made that connection. I remember.
And you were paying too much attention to a stranger reading the newspaper.
I was just staring at him reading the newspaper.
Give me your paper, bitch. He was using prison rules. He's like, if I give him my paper, I'm going to give him my shoes next.
Yep.
I'm not giving him my paper. Sorry.
Well, sometimes you don't even know what's going on in someone's head, so you don't even want to fuck with them. You're like, I don't even want to start a conversation right now.
Just give me your paper, motherfucker.
This dude's been fucking panting and sweating watching me read a paper.
You already read that fucking
page. Did you have that voice as a kid?
No, this was like, 8 years ago. I mean, this is in adulthood.
Oh, wow.
This is riding New York City subways.
So honorable that you'd think that was when he was a child.
Oh, my bad.
Not recently.
I was a better person as a child.
Fucking paper, dickhead.
I need to know what Marmaduke's up to.
I don't even know how I got there, but I got ADD. All right, gentlemen and lady, let's talk about the perfect fitting condoms. Now look, me and Monroe, we probably have the same problem, right? Try to put a condom on, dick
too
just
small.
Just fucking snaps right through it, right?
Yeah.
That's not fun.
That's not at all. It's not.
So what do? You're like, oh, dude, you know what?
I go raw.
What am I? And that's not fun either because you're probably going to have a chafed up dick. You're going to probably get a baby one day. Nobody wants any of that, okay? So here's what my one does is they've created the perfect fitting condom because they have 10 different lengths, 9 different widths for a total of 60 different condom sizes. That is 60 sizes, okay?
Yeah.
It's not like, we got a Magnum or a regular. No. We have 60 different sizes, so you have the absolutely perfect fitting condom.
Okay.
No more bullshit. No more excuses. They have changed the way that people are looking at condoms and using condoms.
Wow.
What you do is you send in your measurements to MyOne Condoms, okay?
And you know your measurements.
And you already know your measurements to the fucking 1/18th of a centimeter.
You know the circumference, the diameter. Uh-huh.
Everybody knows.
Yes.
But for some reason, if you're one of these weirdos who just doesn't want to know and you've never done it before, they will send you a little kit to measure your dick, okay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A dick measuring kit. They actually give you, just for that alone, I would fucking want to
use
this service.
It's me. I show up to you.
he starts gargling out of his mouth. It's water displacement out of his mouth.
It's me in dirty overalls for no reason. It's not a dirty job.
So what they do, you send in your measurements, and they send you the perfect fitting condom. It's myonecondoms.com, MYONE, all spelled out, MYONE, condom, CONDOMS.com/realass. And what you do, not only do they have these amazing condoms, but we are going to give you a free sampler pack at myonecondoms.com/realass, MYONE, condoms.com/realass, free condoms, no shipping costs, nothing. They're going to come right to your door. They give you, I believe it's a... You can get up to as many as 24 free condoms. So this is free. This is something that's amazing. It will change your perspective on using condoms. Try it out. See if you love it. Once again, it's myonecondoms.com/realass. That lets them know that we sent you, and you get your free sample pack right there. And enjoy your fucking. All right, what were we talking about?
No, we were talking about how dirty white people are.
How do I get into the newspaper house?
Taking the shoes off in the house is the last thing I remember.
Taking the shoes off in the house. Yeah.
Reading the paper.
Oh, yeah. So I read on the New York Post.
You don't shower your kid at
read
night.
In the New York Post about how they did a study where they took somebody's shoes
after they walked a day in New York City and they tested the bottom of them for what diseases, and it was like everything.
Yes.
Yeah, there's like hepatitis.
Every fucking thing.
Everything. See if you pull up the results from that study. Like
and people get upset when they come on my house and they're like, "What do you mean I gotta take my shoes?" I'm like, "You've been in the you've been stepping in dog shit all day." And bumpy and everything.
In LA, I didn't take my shoes off in my house. Never really got that dirty, but it's a lot cleaner there.
Well, because people aren't walking around as much in LA. So, I mean, if you tested the streets anywhere, New York City is, it's fucking grimy. Yeah. We just said earlier, it's like you literally on a subway car with a homeless bum who has, you know, a leg that's four times the size it normally is supposed to be. Because
this is just the story he reads James before he puts him into bed dirty.
I read
black bums with fat legs out there.
There's diseases. Uh-huh. Now good night. You can shower in the morning.
Yo, last night I didn't feel like getting up and turning the light on. I forgot. I turned the light off and then got up and went to bed with him. And I was trying to hoping that he wouldn't care that I wasn't going to read him a story because he wants to be going to bed late last night.
Yeah.
He was dead at my books. I was like, all right, James. I was like, well, can I just make up a story for you instead so that I don't have to go turn the light on? And he was like, okay. And I realized, like, I am
terrible,
horrible at improv. Like, I am so bad. I mean, it was just a story about a little boy named James. Like, first of all, I couldn't even
Who wanted to go to bed. His dad wanted to just go play Fortnite.
Was it just a story about...
No, there's this little boy. He doesn't want to go to sleep when his daddy wants
his
to play.
His father had
rounds.
Some regrets.
Wow.
They used to throw rocks at me.
I started naming things I'm seeing in the room. I'm like, so...
He had a lamp.
He saw some books. There's a disgusting disease on the bottom of your shoes. What is it?
Them shoes that
I mean, this is the article.
I used to let my shoes get like that until I would buy a new pair of shoes way too late in life. And now I really judge people's shoes.
Yeah, that's pursuit of happiness bad.
The way I judge people, like this is what I do.
Movie.
Yeah.
You have to have decent shoes on.
Yeah.
Decent shoes.
They don't have to be the nicest shoes. They just can't be dirty.
You gotta have decent shoes on and a watch. An accessory that looks like it costs some money, and your whole outfit. You could be wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt.
He's saying that with a Boston hoodie he bought at the airport.
It's true. What's the sneakers like?
Got my boots, doggy.
Boots are nice.
The boots
I like
work.
The boots
the
look.
Boots work. It doesn't matter. Like, look, I know they're a little dusty looking.
I've had to teach Luce a lot. Like, he started wearing Adidas slides with no socks.
Adidas slides with no socks?
Yeah.
But that's some Bronx shit.
With no socks?
Yeah.
Ugh. Always socks, no?
You gotta, especially in New York.
Look, I agree with you on that one. I agreed.
They start smelling weird.
But you understand, people make fun of you.
Smell like his feet.
People make fun of you when you're wearing with socks. Like white, so Hispanic people and black people make fun of you for not wearing socks. And they're like, oh my God, you disgusting fucking gringo bitch. And then you wear them with socks. And then white people are like, oh, go back to Mexico, you fucking border jumper. You know, so, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
It depends on where you're at. Like, if you're in a house, you can wear them with no socks.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, like, sometimes you're just chilling with your friends out, but you got slides on, you got to have socks on.
Always. Yeah. Nobody wants to see your toes in those things.
Monroe knows what's up. Monroe's a stylish enough dude. He's like, he's kind of a big nerd, but you still, whatever it is, you put it together. Like, you're wearing a fucking nerdy-ass t-shirt right now.
But we all wear nerdy t-shirts, and I like all of them.
But the rims of your glasses are kind of nice. Like, you know, it's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't even need anything else except, I bet your shoes are decent. I bet you got some nice shoes on.
I know they're nice because I stepped on them earlier.
Yep. Now, it doesn't matter. The jeans and t-shirt are inconsequential. Uh-huh. It's your sneakers are nice, and you have nice rim glasses.
It's
These are nice.
The shirt, and the glasses.
Yeah, but the shirt could be whatever. It doesn't. I'm telling you right now.
The shirt could look bad on someone else who didn't have the other stuff.
If you were wearing shitty rundown sneakers right now,
this would be a terrible.
You'd be fucked.
It would be a whole different look.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
And if you had like just plain rim glasses, shitty glasses, right? And dirty sneakers right now,
you'd be Lawrence.
shit, he's good. Kid's good.
Hilarious.
But that's what I've learned as an adult. Yeah. Also, babe, where's my watch?
I don't know.
What type of watch do you wear? I stick with the Apple Watch because I don't like people asking me the time. So this serves like another purpose.
You married?
Yeah. I got married last month.
Did you fucking get married, dog?
I got married October 2nd. Me and my lady got married at the courthouse.
What?
And we're having a reception in April. Shit is dope.
That's dope.
You can hear the whole story on She's the thing Colombian, is when Manuel Martin was on the
but
show.
But that's how I know the Hispanic. Hold on,
Shannon's trying to plug her dumb show. give her the minute to do it. Yeah, what was that, Shannon?
Monroe told the whole story about his engagement and his marriage on the Thing Is podcast.
You just secretly did. That's good, though, because most people throw it in everybody's fucking face.
It's between me and her, and I didn't want to make it just a whole like spectacle.
Yeah.
And it's perfect that way. And the best thing about being married, it's to be still feel like boyfriend and girlfriend. So it was like,
you're doing it for the right reason. Me and Kim, if we ever get married, it's going to be fuck for the gifts.
You know what I read? When you get married, send a wedding invitation to every millionaire and billionaire around you, and their assistants will be like, he probably knows them, and just send you a gift.
Ooh, smart. Scam that Jew.
Say that one more time.
Scam that Jew right there.
Yeah.
Scam that Jew.
That. That's fucking great. Send an invitation.
I read that somewhere. That's not mine. I'm not going to steal it. I read that somewhere online. It was just like a tip.
So you
tip.
Can send it to your agents and they'll just go,
So you send it to, like, let's say, just there's billionaires in New York City, right? Yes. Just send wedding invitations to all of them to your wedding, right?
Yeah.
Their assistants are going to go, like, oh shit, this person knows this person. In fact, these billionaires will probably go, I know this person somewhere, somehow. I don't remember how. I'm not going
especially
to send
them
again.
Especially they'll look like you up. You're a comedian, a professional comedian, or whatever.
You,
and
you don't even need to have a wedding. Yeah. You can just say you're getting married, send invitations to all these billionaires.
All right, stop talking right now.
What?
So people are going to take our billionaires in
this
New York.
This is a fucking great idea right now.
Yeah. Shit, that's a great idea. I'm doing that.
That's fucking solid.
Well, we're going home and we're getting wedding invitations.
Well, that's what, you know, Feeny sent me a scam that Jew, which is great. Every time he goes anywhere, he just says that him and his wife are on their honeymoon, and every time they get free champagne, dinner, comps, things like that. Anytime they go to any hotel at any single city they go to,
that makes sense.
They say they're on their honeymoon.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. Smart. Me and my ex did that once. Me and my ex.
I don't care.
Alex.
I'm trying to think of a skim that Jew thing.
Scam that Jew. We're the Jews that are scamming. We are very pro-Israel.
Okay, that makes more sense. I thought you said skim that Jew. I was like, I don't know what that means.
Scam
that Jew. There's some great scams. The scams, you can't get in trouble. That's the idea. Is you can't go
to
jail.
You gotta be able to talk your way out of it.
Okay, so here's, I guess, the scam. If you go to, like, CVS and you know that you get those coupons that'll be, like, $2 off of deodorant, as long as you're at the self-checkout, you can use that on anything.
Really?
So no. I have taken deodorant things, and I've bought, like, Oreos and bags of chips and just scanned random
and save
coupons.
$2 on... And
so say if it's, like, $2 off lotion... You can just scan it on any item and it'll still give you the
$2 only?
CVS only. I used to live in Astoria.
If I get confirmation on this, you will get a Scam That Jew t-shirt.
Okay.
Shannon, you want to pull up a t-shirt for him? Can you do that? If she can find it?
I'm telling you. Because all you're doing is scanning it and dropping it in the thing. That's all it
wants to do. Scan That Jew. I like it.
Scan That Jew.
CVS does it. Do you scan the coupon and not the product?
No, so what you do is you, like, you have all your products, right? And then you...
At the end of it, you just start scanning the coupons and they just take it off. This is the shirt right there.
Some of them won't scan, but the majority of them will. I've told all my friends that. Like, and they've done it.
I believe it. I used to have a free coffee and donut coupon as a picture on my phone before they figured that shit out. And I would just go to any Dunkin' Donuts anytime I wanted. Just go, bleep, free.
Dope.
Bleep. I had it for, like, probably 6 months.
Okay, here's another one. But I don't know if you can still do this one. But Megabus. So basically, Megabus tickets, their serial number.
You get a hose.
Is the time.
You put it inside of the gas tank. Uh-huh, and you start sucking out the gas.
Their barcode, like serial number thing, your reference number is nothing but like the time you bought the ticket, the date, and the time you left. And it's like in a different order. So I used to make fake tickets for all my friends. And I would just like Photoshop it, change the number, and it would scan.
It scans?
Yes.
Whoa. Okay.
But the thing is, a lot of people, like, I think one person only got in trouble because he scanned his ticket and some stranger was right behind him and scanned the same ticket. And it happened to Chris Cotton. And Chris Cotton was already on the bus. And the dude was like, no, like, I promise you, like, I bought this ticket. And the guy was like, no, you got to wait for the next bus.
No.
And Chris is like slinked down in his chair.
Oh, no. Oh man, if that was me, I'd literally be trying to flip the bus over. They would be arresting me because I wouldn't let go of the bus. I'm gonna flip it over,
dude.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to think of some movie. You know the movie skit, movie ticket
wow, he
scam.
Has a lot.
You
buy a,
Monroe you grew up in kids. Foster care.
Yes,
you
I know everything.
You learn how to. Mm-hmm. You learn how to get by, especially with these types of scams. This is why me and Monroe are similar, because I grew up poor, so you would learn how to...
We're gonna hear the rock story again, goddammit.
Avoid getting hit in the head by rocks.
When you you're fucking... ducking those rocks, you start to look at ways to save money. It's true. Buy a senior citizen ticket or a child's ticket, and they don't really look. Even if you're like, act like, what I used to do is, I'll fold the ticket right where it says adult. I'll just fold it really hard, and then when they go to, like, I'll hand it to them, like, kind of closed, and when they go to scan it, they're not reading that part. They'll just open it, scan it, and then keep it moving.
Yeah, that's okay. One. That's an okay one.
Yeah.
That's
okay. My mom used to go to All You Can Eat Lobster and line her purses with aluminum foil and just bring home extra lobster.
That's just disgusting.
That's nasty as shit.
Disgusting. It's specifically, it's like seafood in an old, sweaty Puerto Rican purse.
But it's not even quality it's lobster. Fucking,
it's
not,
it's all, like, all, yeah, it's shitty lobster, yeah. too.
No,
just fucking like makeup.
I never
and
said
fucking,
it was a good time.
Just lipstick.
There's
and
like
fucking,
hair and yeah, gum in it.
Aspirin. Loose change. You just gotta fucking eat that.
It was kind of cold by the time
roofies.
They got back.
I don't know why your mom has roofies in her bag.
I know why. You've never met her mom.
Oh, yeah. She would have roofies.
You should do an episode of your podcast with your mom. You should do a broad topic
no,
with your mom.
No, you know
mom.
What the problem with her is? She changes when we hit record. She's like, hello, I'm so classy woman. Oh. Yeah, and then normally she's like, I want to get fucked. So.
Like mother, like daughter.
Oh, oh.
Uh-oh. All right.
All right, we're going to wrap this one up soon. I'm going to ask a couple questions. This has been a really fun show. I know it's been a little more serious, the tone of the show, but I like having these serious conversations sometimes. And I love having you in the show, Monroe. And
thank you
too, Kim Congdon. You guys are both great guests for
thank
the show. So let's get some questions going, then we'll wrap this one up, Shannon, with a little bow.
I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
All right. You can join the conversation. Today's questions are coming from Twitter. Let's see. Let's see. All right. This is a good question. Val Fortune wants to know, would you rather have a rock in your shoe forever or have to sleep in a slightly wet bed for the rest of your
God,
life?
Oh my God, a rock again?
I slept in a slightly wet bed 2 days ago. I did a college show in North Carolina, Greensville, North Carolina, and the hotel bed was wet and I just slept on top of it with my clothes on.
Yeah, that would bother me. A slightly wet bed, a damp bed?
Yeah.
Oh. Or a rock in your shoe for the rest of your life, too.
Rock
how big
shoe.
Is the rock? Well, if it was a pebble, they'd say a fucking pebble.
What do you do?
No, I said, how big was the rock?
I would say, and you know the size. It's a fucking annoying pebble. It's right in the bottom of your foot. Every time you take a step, you feel it.
I'd take that.
I take wet bed because wet bed could be okay, at least in, like, the summer. Rock's going to suck.
Wet bed's never okay.
Wet bed's never going to be okay. It's
gonna
be
wet
awful.
Beds are worse
winter,
than the summer.
Cold. Zach's
trying to convince himself
human.
That his currently wet bed is going to be okay this summer.
No.
It's not good. No, what you know what's even worse
shoe.
Than everything? They should have put this as a choice. Damp socks. Like you step in a puddle.
Ooh.
Or even one damp
that
sock.
Sucks
like stepping
when
in
it's
a puddle.
Cold, your toes get numb.
Dog, yeah. Just know socks? If you step in a puddle and one of your socks or one of your shoes are wet for the day,
yeah.
That feeling of your foot, it sets off like I feel like that happened to me when I was a kid and I've never been able to get back on track in my life. Since that one, the first time it happened, it's just set off a trajectory of fucking hate.
Jesus Christ.
You know why pebble in your shoe works for life? Because eventually your feet will get used to that feeling.
You develop a callus?
Yeah.
Because you know, anytime I've gotten dental work, anytime, like if I get a filling, whatever it is, when I bite down afterwards, I'm like, that's not how my teeth feel. That's not how I'm supposed to feel.
Yeah.
And it's not like it changes. You just get used to that feeling.
Yep.
I remember this little fucking like line that's in the back of my tooth. Whatever it is they did with the fucking filling thing, there's a line there.
Yeah.
And it was driving me out of my mind the first like 3 or 4 days. And now it's just part of my mouth.
You don't even know the difference. That's dumb.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go with. Let's go with. Okay, what should I do? This is from Two Cats, One Hat. Wants to know, what should I do in a job interview to make sure they like me? Job interviews. I always interview very well. I'm an unlikable dude. I'm not very likable. But what I think of when I have a very specific goal in mind, mm-hmm. I'm good at sort of, like, if being likable is part of that short-term goal, that process,
yeah.
I can sort of fake it. So I've always been very good on job interviews. I've never not been hired for a job interview.
Same.
Okay, Bliss, then give the advice.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the advice. Yeah. Be what?
I've always been really good. I'm very impressive. I'm a very great speaker.
Eye contact, smile, call everybody by their name.
Also, I think it's really important to look up information about the job you're doing. So when they ask if you have any questions, you could be like, yeah, I heard that your company does this. And then have a question about it so they know that you're like interested in the job.
Don't do that cliche, my strengths are my weaknesses.
No.
But they're all... It's doesn't work. That's horseshit. To teach kids how to interview, like just for interviews and stuff. So I used to work for the Philadelphia Youth Network, and so that's what I used to do. It's like wear your clothes like this.
That was the channel ECW was on.
Yes.
FYN. That's what that stands for.
Philadelphia. No, PYN. But yeah, close.
But it's more of like an eye contact thing, and it's more of like how you make them feel. If you can make them feel like a friend of yours, you got the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten so many jobs I'm not qualified for because they felt good about themselves when the interview was over. So they want to continue the conversation. So they're rooting for you.
There's a great book, and I've told people to read it before, and it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And the book is about relationships. What, Kimberly, what? Why are you laughing in my face? It's a great book. You read it on my recommendation and you enjoyed it.
It was good, yes, you're right.
What is your problem? Why are you laughing at me? You're proverbially throwing rocks at me right now.
Nothing. Go ahead.
Stop throwing rocks at my head.
Okay.
Let me walk to school today with rock free.
You're right.
Okay?
That's wrong.
So, but no, this book, they talk about how to get what you want out of relationships with people. Okay. And I think that book, if you're looking to, in whatever way in life, I think that this book could help you with relationships in general.
Yeah.
But in the relationship of trying to get something out of somebody, which is you're trying to get a job, you're trying to get more money, you're trying to get a raise, you're trying to get a promotion. I think that this book has a lot of great little tips with things you can do. And I think the best advice I can give anybody for something like that is go in there and make them like you.
Yes.
Make them like you very quickly. And, you know, the other side of it, one of the things when you're working with somebody, that you're going to, they want to know that they're going to want to be around you every day.
Yes, it's less about it's almost sometimes less about the job and just being like, make them want to be around you 40 hours a week.
That's all it is, because you will learn. What I learned was.
You'll learn the job.
You'll learn the job.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not really. They don't really give a shit about how well you know it. They just want to know, can you hang around the people who are already here?
Yeah.
Will you fuck and you'll up be the
a
process?
Part of, you'll be a part of this, you know, team or whatever it is, and you will make it work smoother. And a lot of time that is just by not being a fucking roadblock and not being a dick and not being, you know, when you come in and you're too much of a know-it-all, you know too much about the company, too ass-kissy, none of that really helps, you know.
And also can't come in and be like by yourself and leave and like not say anything to anyone.
Yeah.
You have to be like somewhere in the middle. You have to find the right place. No.
Can I say this?
Go ahead.
Sorry. The interview starts the moment y'all make eye contact.
Yeah.
So when they come out and get you, when the secretary goes, such and such will see you, or they come out and they see you, the first thing you need to do is you kind of got to notice something about them. When you stand up, shake their hand, immediately start having a conversation.
Yeah.
Immediately start going, oh, I see you got that. Or this, that, and the third. Or did you see blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
And they start talking and talking.
I
and
agree.
Then the moment y'all sit down, well, the interview is so fucking
well, what
easy.
You're talking about, it's, you know, everybody in life, everything, everyone's trying to sell, right? You're either selling or being sold in life in every interaction, right? I really mean that. Every single interaction you have. So what you're doing is you're selling this person on hiring you. That's the actual sale. The goal here is I want you to buy me, right? Essentially.
Yeah.
And in any sales process, the first thing you do is you greet them and you get them to like you immediately. It's a smile. It is something genuine. And then you start asking them questions. And the reason you're asking them questions is so you could better suit yourself or your product toward that person's lifestyle. The best thing you can do in any environment, instead of just start yapping about yourself, ask them about the job. Ask them about what's so cool about it. Yeah. They start to light up. People love talking about themselves. You lean into that instinct that they have, and then holy shit.
Dude.
Now your interview is them getting excited about answering your questions, and then you're actually having a real conversation because they answer something that inspires something
people
else.
People like to talk about themselves too.
They love it.
So if
they
you get them it. Interested, if you see that they have kids that are doing ballet, yeah. be like, "Oh, I did ballet. That's adorable." You know, and it's like, anything.
That likability factor is such an important part in anything, whether it's your the entertainment industry, you're trying to go for a regular job, it's everything. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, and I know it because I'm an unlikable motherfucker, so I
you're
watch it from a different
unlikable.
Perspective. I am, Monroe.
You're not. You wouldn't have friends if you were unlikable.
I barely do.
No, you don't. You have friends, man.
We gotta wrap this one. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We'll be back on Monday. Anthony Cumia in studio. He is promoting his book, which he just gave me a copy of. I'm going to be reading it on my trip out to Chicago. That's right, guys. Tonight, Chicago. Tomorrow, Miami. Sunday, Miami. Monday, Boston. Next Wednesday, Biltmore, Long Island. Make sure you grab your fucking tickets right now. Luis J. Gomez presents LuisJGomez.com is the website. And thank you so much for listening to The Real Ass Podcast. We will check you next week.
Peace.
Peace.
That's all, folks.